This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, it is great to be back at CIU, where now I understand you can dance. Talk about a shofar shout-out. That's what I'm talking about. You know, change is good. I'm a CIU grad twice over. I was here in 95 to 97 and got my MDiv, and I came back in 2005 to 2007 and got my DMin, and have the privilege to be a part of a church in Northeast Columbia that my wife and I got to start, Sand Hills Community Church. It's kind of a modern, multi-ethnic church, and it is a source of great joy, but it has been a lot of work. And when I went to CIU, I didn't have a clue when I got out of here what I was going to do with my life. Anybody else here in that boat? You guys, amen. I'm with you. I feel that. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about God's will, trying to discern God's will. It's something if you love Jesus, it's something you're absolutely concerned about. And most of you are headed for some really big decisions. For instance, do we have any single people here? Single people, raise your hands. Any single people? All right. So we've got single people here. You've got a big decision ahead of you, right? At least you hope you do, right? Who are you going to marry? Yeah, that's huge. Who are you going to marry? And then guys who are about to graduate, go get a job. Gals who are about to get a job, like, where are you going to work? What's God's will for both who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, and all the other stuff in your life? Now, if you were to come up to me after this chapel today and say, I really don't know God's will in this particular area. So maybe it's who you're going to marry. Maybe it's where you're going to work, where you're going to live. If you come up to me after chapel and say that, I'll tell you, you know what? I know God's will for your life. I do. And if you'll come up to me after chapel for only $19.95, I'd be glad to let you know. And I prefer cash, if I can. Here you go. Five words you need to know. God's will is principle-based, right? God's will is principle-based. I want you to say that with me, those five words. You ready? God's will is principle-based. I want you to etch that in your mind, right? I want you to tattoo that on your arm. Do we do tattoos now? Is that cool? and maybe it's your first dance party. You could also invite a tattoo artist. I don't know how much has changed. All right. God's will is principle-based. We need to know that because it's not what we want. What we want is for God's will to be expressed to us through special revelation. That's what you want. What you want is you want to wake up in the middle of the night because you had a dream, and in that dream was that person you were supposed to marry. Or you want to be walking across campus, and as the gentle breeze blows through the air, you want to hear, I want you to work at, and there's a job, there's a place. We want special revelation from God where He's going to reveal to us clearly who to marry, where to go, what to do with our lives. And God rarely ever does that. You know why? Because special revelation is a shortcut. And it bypasses faith. Let me give you a scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If you have your Bibles with you, open those up. Of course, you may not need to. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is your anchor. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's really hard to do. I would really rather if I didn't have to do that, right? I would really rather if He would just kind of let me know what I'm supposed to do. Trust means it's something I gotta kind of take a step and not really know His exact and perfect plan for that next step. That's trusting in God that when I take that step, I'm not going to fall. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble, right? We lean on our own understanding. If we're not to lean on our understanding, upon whose understanding should we lean? Anyone? All right, let's go with God, right? It's a safe answer. We're in a Bible college seminary atmosphere. We'll go with that. Is there a place where perhaps God has revealed His understanding? Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean on God's understanding. And in all of your ways, all those things you're concerned about, confused about, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. Because that's how God works. So step one then, if I was going to say step one in knowing God's will would be this. Know the Scripture. Know the Scripture. You've got to know the Scripture. The guiding question for you in all of your decisions is this. What does the Scripture say? Right? So the next time you're talking to somebody and they say, oh man, I'm just so confused about what God's got for me, this next phase of my life, or I'm praying about this person that I'm dating. I'm not sure if I should marry them. And, you know, I don't. Stop the conversation right there and go, okay, what does Scripture say? Right? And they're going to be like, well, I mean, I know Scripture says in general. You'll be like, well, what does Scripture say? And you should be able to come up with parts of Scripture in context, because you've studied hermeneutics, that actually apply to your life and are important for the decisions you have to make. Because we get to points in life where we're thinking about all these big things, and we keep coming back to, I don't know God's will. I don't know God's will. And I got to challenge you on that. I got to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you telling me you don't know the will of God? You haven't read this? See, that's not what you mean, though. You're like, well, I don't know God's will for this. Yeah, right, because He hasn't revealed it. That's why you don't know His will for that. He's revealed this. You're like, but I want a name. I know, but He doesn't do that. Right? Know the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Scripture is your anchor in the storm. It's the sail in the sunshine. And by the Word of God, we are both stabilized and propelled in life. Now, as we're applying Scripture to life, what does the Scripture say? As we're applying it to life, we gain something else. Wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowledge applied. That's my definition. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Know the Scripture, but step two in knowing God's will would be this. Seek wisdom. You know, what we would like James to say, though, because see, James, if any of you lacks wisdom, what we would like to hear from James is, if any of you lacks special revelation, then he should ask God, who gives generously to all, right? Like, Lord, I need a name, I need a place, I need a, you know, it's like, oh, if you could just get that into me somehow, and then God's like, no, I'm not doing that. Now, we're not going to play games with how I work. If any of you lacks wisdom, knowledge applied, where do we get that knowledge? Not leaning on our own understanding, leaning on God's understanding. That's wisdom. So here's what I want to do. I want to take one of those questions, and we'll do the question, who am I supposed to marry? Which should help out a lot of people here. All right, so we're gonna do this question, who am I supposed to marry? We're going to apply to that. But before I do, I want to stop and I want to ask you a question. Does God have in mind one person and one person only that you're supposed to marry? Right? Because that's what, somebody's already quick. All right. So, because this is the thinking. There's one person I'm supposed to marry. There's one perfect job I'm supposed to have. And there's one, you know, whatever it is, this next thing of God's will, there's only one really way that can work out. And if I miss that, I blow it all. Right? Now, so think about this. You marry the wrong person. Then what? Then the person they were supposed to have married, you've messed that up too. And the person they were supposed to marry, now everybody's marrying the wrong person, you ruined the world! Or, God's will is principle-based. You know, we want to discern what God does by whim. That's what we want. We want the feeling that God is leading me. That's whim. That's impulse. That's desire. So, you know, this is how it works. Guys, you're walking across campus. You see a pretty girl walk by. You're like, I know God's will. You know? You know, that's how we want it to work, right? That, you know what that is? That's devoid of Scripture. That's devoid of wisdom. That's just whim. Right? So we say, well, I really want a sense of peace about it. Because that's what Scripture says? You know what drives missionaries crazy? What drives missionaries crazy is when they go into a culture and they bring the Word of God and they're instructing them in the Word of God, and they take that Word of God and they combine it with pagan myth, and they squeeze them together and they live out a distorted form of theology. It's a messed up way to live. We call it syncretism. You know what I see a lot of from Christians who are seeking God's will? Syncretism. Because we have a false view of how God works, and we're seeking whim. We're seeking a sense of peace. I'm not sure that's biblical. Like, if we apply that to the early church, is that how they had to live? So when they encountered persecution, it was a sign they were outside of God's will, right? Because there's no peace there. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist sitting in prison, about to be beheaded. Do you think he's sitting there going, I must have missed God's will? Now, actually, he may have, because he sent some guys to go ask Jesus, like, are you really the one? Like, okay, you're not crazy, John. He's really the one. It's, yeah. See you on the other side. The Apostle Paul. Do you think he had a sense of peace about things? Hey, Paul, let me show you what's going to happen to you when you get to this city. I don't think he had a sense of peace. In fact, any of our faith heroes, I don't think they went by whim. Sometimes the Spirit of God leads us into some very uncomfortable places. And I think we play an ungodly game when it comes to God's will, confusing the Spirit with whim, seeking an emotion of peace, and evaluating our decisions based on our desired outcomes. Now, if this is your staple for seeking God's will, you're going to have an erratic Christian walk. And you will always wonder if you ever truly walked in God's will. God's will is not that complicated, nor that mystical. I know there are occasions in Scripture where God spoke specifically. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. That's the exception. That's not the norm. And if we're all holding out for that, this is going to be an immobilized body of believers. Because I'm waiting for that sense of peace. You know, I'm waiting to feel. Like, you know what that is? A syncretism. That's not what God has given to us. What does the Scripture say? We need to know the Scriptures. What is wise? We need to seek wisdom. And God's will is principle-based. All right, so let's apply this. Who should I marry? We'll just take that. This works for all of them, but we'll just do this. Who should I marry? First, I would say, what does the Scripture say? All right? Okay, well, there's a couple things we know. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. All right, so I already know that marriage is to last forever, as long as he lives, not until you kill him, as long as he lives, we're bound to him. But if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Only the Lord. So marriage is forever, and you can only marry someone in the Lord. That is somebody that loves Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked. Okay, so then if I want to make sure that I'm marrying exactly who I'm supposed to marry, I got to make sure that they are equally yoked to me, that they love Jesus, right? All right, so I've come here now and I've looked at the Scripture. And as I've looked at Scripture, God has spoken clearly. Not just in these couple of verses, but there are other verses where God has spoken about how we're supposed to find our mates or other things that are supposed to happen in that course of that. But these are big guiding ones. So then you say, okay, look, then I have knowledge. I have the knowledge of God. Like, is that all you need? No, you're missing something. You're missing wisdom. What's wisdom? Knowledge applied. All right, what is knowledge applied here then? Well, you know the book of knowledge or the book of wisdom in Scripture. It's Proverbs. Proverbs is great. I mean, if you're trying to figure out life, you need to read Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Oh man, as I've watched some people get engaged over the years, this verse has come back to my mind. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I can't tell you how many people have sat in my office, and I've tried to politely, you know, it's really hard when you're doing marital counseling or premarital counseling to look at somebody and go, you know, your intended is kind of a schlub. Did you notice that? Like, I would not have chosen this poorly groomed neo-Christian kind of, there's something not, you know, healthy about that person. That's hard to do in a premarital counseling session. But sometimes needs to be done, right? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. I'll tell you this, though, by the time people are engaged, not many are seeking advice. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. That means then we need to listen to people. Glean the wisdom of others, right? I mean, that's knowledge applied. Other people have been through this. Let them inform you. So when you get in these relationships and you're thinking about marrying this person, or you're praying about the job that's going to be in front of you and you're trying to figure out, is this what God has for me? Go to godly people and ask them, right? Now, we don't want that again, right? We want special revelation. I want God to speak to me. I want to hear. You know, of course you want to hear, but he doesn't work that way. Why? Because I'm supposed to trust in the Lord. And special revelation is a shortcut. Trust means I'm taking steps of faith and I find God supports me. I'm not leaning on my understanding, I'm leaning on his understanding. And as I apply that, I find that he is making my path straight. That's how God works with me. Glean the wisdom of others. Now, you can get wisdom on your own, but it costs more. You can make the mistakes, but some of those, I mean, we went back. What do we see, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? You blow that, you're bound for life. Seek the wisdom of others. Yeah, I know. So who do I marry? Like, who do I marry? All right, let's do this. Who here, single people, what single people here would say, look, I am sold out to Jesus, or it is my goal to be sold out to Jesus, all right? Single people who, it's your goal, you want to be sold out to Jesus Christ, all right? Keep your hand up, put your hand up. All right, please, single people, look around. Your future spouse is here. Yeah. And what we'll do is, after the service, if you'll come forward, might be a good time for our first dance here at CIU. Just an idea. So who do I marry? Well, we know what Scripture says. Scripture says you marry a believer. That's who you marry. You marry a believer. What does wisdom tell me? Well, wisdom tells me that as I'm applying the knowledge that God has given me and I'm listening to others, I'm going to have a good indication of what I should do. And in fact, I'll give you a bit of wisdom right now. If you want to marry someone sold out to Jesus, date someone sold out to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Here's a truth I've noticed in ministry. This is wisdom. Something I've learned applying this. Women settle and men don't. Here's what I mean. Women tend to settle for men that make them feel good. They settle, right? Don't settle, ladies, please. Seek a guy that loves Jesus and puts him first. Amen, right? And guys don't. You know the struggle with guys is we are so wired to conquer that when we get into relationships, after a while, our eyes begin to wander again. And I've noticed in ministry that there's a lot of unhappy women who married someone that made them feel good at the time, but really wasn't the ideal spouse. And I've noticed that men, once they've been married for a while, struggle with looking around. Wisdom says, apply this now while you're single, and we're going to trust in the Lord to make your path straight in your marriage. So, once I know what Scripture says, once I've applied wisdom, I've applied this knowledge, I have wisdom, then, here you go, here's the big one, do what seems best. Do what seems best. While we're getting caught up in sentimental ideas of God's will, that is, the peace, the leanings of God, and the want to hear special revelation, I want to get away from sentimental ideas. I want us to have biblical ideas. What Scripture says. Who are you going to marry? I don't know who you're going to marry. You know, I don't know. Pick somebody and make sure it's a good one, right? That's all I want. Like, seriously, when I interview for my daughter's 12 right now, and I don't know, I've already told her maybe 40, I'll start letting her date. We'll see. But she's 12 right now. I'm thinking, I already know the conversations I'm going to be having with the guys or guy she brings home. And it's going to start off with, I want to know more than anything in life, what drives you? What is your passion in life? And if he says anything other than Jesus Christ, I'm going to say, get out. It's over. If this thing is over, you're done, right? Hey, wisdom, knowledge applied. You don't love Jesus, stay away from my daughter, right? Do what seems best, and then I'll talk to my daughter later. I want you to come to a place of comfort in your uncertainty. That's what I want. You're either going to trust God by leaning on his understanding and grow in your faith, or you're going to be immobilized looking for shortcuts. Wisdom would tell me, if you know the scripture and you're seeking the wisdom of others, do what seems best and God will make your path straight. And the only way you're going to find out your straight path is if you're walking down it, not immobilized, waiting on whim. Know the scripture, seek wisdom, do what seems best. Now, it might be too, as we're talking about this, somebody might say, you know, you're talking about all this, you never once mentioned prayer. I'd ask you, what does the scripture say? Pray about everything. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me. Father God, you are so awesome. And we sometimes, thinking we're standing on faith, are really being quite disobedient to what you've revealed. Lord, let us not be a people who wait on whim, who hope for an emotion of peace that really seems to violate what you've already articulated in your truth. The things we want don't often match up with Scripture. So Lord, may it be this, that we will really trust in you with all of our heart, that when we take a step, we're going to trust, knowing what Scripture says, taking steps on that, leaning on the wisdom of others and wisdom we've gleaned, that you're going to make the path straight, that we can count on you for that. Let us not be immobilized, but may we walk, and would you grow our faith, we ask, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.